morning. Verses in John 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Good morning. Glad to see everybody here this morning. Sang one of my favorite songs right before the sermon. It might be my favorite song. It's definitely high up there. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love that last verse. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Just means that Jesus, we love him because the pain that we feel, he feels it with us in a way that no one else can. I want to thank y'all this morning for praying for me and my family. It's been a very difficult week. My grandfather's been in ICU for, I think this is the seventh day now, and he should be getting out tomorrow, but it's been a very hard week to focus on the Bible and some of the other things I normally do, and I'm just thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for your prayers that he is doing better, and I praise the Lord for that. I praise y'all for praying for us, and I also thank you for your prayers for me as I do this job of preaching and teaching. I couldn't do this without the Lord's help and without y'all praying for me. It gives me some wisdom and guidance as I try. So thank you. We're going to be studying and examining the Gospel of John, not just today, but the next few months. We're going to be going through it about as carefully as I can while also preaching sermons and trying to keep things at an acceptable pace. And to do that, I'm going to have to beg for just a bit of patience today. Not everybody enjoys a college-style lecture. I love me a good college-style lecture. Not everybody enjoys that. It's not generally the way you want to do a sermon, but our goal is to always be studying, understanding, and loving God's Word. And as I considered where to start in John, I realized we're going to be a lot better served in the study of the book as a whole if we will spend one Sunday morning talking about what the book is. And if we can get an idea of the structure, purpose, and goal of this book, then we can fit all the rest of our lessons into that and understand the whole book a lot better, or at least that's my goal in teaching and preaching through this book. So, we're gonna look at some important questions in the book of John this morning. The who, what, when, where, and why. Before we get into that, I want to talk to you about what do I think about when I think about the book of John. Think about this little thing right here. This is one of the things I learned about in college. It's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about this book. It's called the Rylands Library Papyrus P52, which is a mouthful. that's kind of a crazy name, but that is similar to how most ancient biblical fragments are named. Why does this matter? You know, our New Testament is put together from a collection of our best and oldest copies of the New Testament. That's how we got this book in our hand. And this one is particularly important and pretty neat. This is a fragment from John 18, 31 through 33. It's about the size of a credit card, and it is the oldest piece of the New Testament in existence that we have. It is dated from about 150 A.D. This thing is old. Just a little over 100 years after Jesus' death on the cross, this piece of paper was written on, piece of papyrus. So while people might debate about when certain New Testament books were written, John is a book that for a long time has been accepted as being very, very early. And this fragment's kind of good proof of that. It's one of the coolest pieces of biblical history, and it comes to us from the book of John. So to prepare for spending some time in this book, I thought, like I said, it'd be good for us to answer five key questions you want to ask when you study any book. Who, what, when, where, and why? And we're going to start with who. Who wrote the Gospel of John? Let's look at some evidence. The gospel itself claims that the disciple whom Jesus loved, or the disciple who, or the beloved disciple, wrote the gospel. We assume that disciple, based on the other gospels, is in fact John, the son of Zebedee. In John chapter 21, verse 24, it says, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, who was written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." So notice that at least the disciple had something to do with the writing of the gospel. Some argue that maybe this gospel was written using John's eyewitness account, but not necessarily by John. So, you know, I read John chapter 21, I read what it says about this disciple and his work, and I think, you know, I'd love a little more evidence on that. I wonder if there's some other places I could go for information about who wrote the fourth gospel. And thankfully, there are. There are a lot of writings from the second century church. You may not be familiar with many of them, but sometimes I feel like we believe the early church was this big mystery. You know, we don't know much about what they did or what happened right after Jesus. The reality is we have tons of information from different Christian writers in the second and third centuries. Our brothers may not have been inspired to write the Word of God like their first century forefathers, but they certainly shared a ton of amazing things and stories from their lives that we miss out on if we're not reading any of their stuff. And one of the most important early Christians who wrote was a man named Irenaeus, who wrote around 180 AD, so about 150 years after Jesus' death. He wrote a large book called Against Heresies, which you can read for free all over the internet or buy a physical copy of it. His book is all about the early Christian heresies, about the people that he felt were changing and perverting Christian doctrine right after the apostles died, especially a group known as the Gnostics. And I bring Irenaeus up because in defending Christianity, he's also the earliest person in Christian history that we have written down that tells us who wrote all four gospels. Here's a quote from chapter 1 of book 3 of Irenaeus' Against Heresies. And keep in mind, this is from 180 AD. This is our oldest account of this. In verse 1 of book 3 of chapter 1 of Irenaeus' Against Heresies, it says, "For after our Lord rose from the dead, the apostles were invested with power from on high. And when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, were filled from all his gifts and had perfect knowledge. They departed to the ends of the earth, preaching the glad tidings of the good things sent from God to us, proclaiming the peace of heaven to men, who indeed do all equally and individually possess the gospel of God. Matthew also issued a written gospel among the Hebrews in their own dialect, while Peter and Paul were preaching at Rome and laying the foundations of the church. After their departure, Mark, the disciple and interpreter of Peter, did also hand down to us in writing what had been preached by Peter. Luke, also the companion of Paul, recorded in a book the gospel preached by him." And I've got this last quote down here on the PowerPoint for you. "Afterwards, John, the disciple of the Lord, who also had leaned upon his breast, did himself publish a gospel during his residence at Ephesus in Asia." By the way, a lot of this information on the PowerPoint, I'm going to make it into a little handout, and I'll have it out on Sunday mornings as we go through John to kind of refresh you on all this, who, what, when, where, and why, as we get into it, because I think it's helpful. So we got the who. John wrote it. Where did John write it? Well, according to old Irenaeus, John moved to Ephesus after Jesus' death. That's where he did a lot of his work, and that is where he wrote this book. A little bit further in his book, Against Heresies, he says, "Then again, the church in Ephesus, founded by Paul and having John remain among them permanently until the times of Trajan, is a true witness of the tradition of the apostles." This gospel, like I said, is generally believed to have been written in Ephesus by John based on testimony from ancient Christian sources like this. And this is pretty helpful as we understand the book and its message. We'll get into the message when we deal with the what and the why. But for now, let's think about Ephesus. What do we know about Ephesus? Why would John have written a book like this in Ephesus? Ephesus was a major religious center for the Roman Empire, especially for the worship of the pagan god Artemis. I included a little picture here of what they believed the Temple of Artemis would have looked like in the heyday back in the first century. She was often even referred to as Artemis of the Ephesians. This was a key part of their culture. That's something that they were proud of. And the locals were not happy about Christianity, about this new religion, and seeing their neighbors abandon their culture. This was a beginning conflict for the church in Ephesus. Along with that, we see in Acts, we see in the letter to the Ephesians that the church was doing well, but by the time we get to Revelation, we learn that they are struggling to hold on to their love for God. They're dealing with some issues involving false apostles, and they're going through hardships. Some scholars believe that John was written in Ephesus to a community of Christians that were facing some very discouraging circumstances. They had a threefold problem. Around the time the book was written, the Jews were beginning to heavily reject Christians from their community. So any Christians that were from the synagogue, that had a Jewish background, were losing family and friends and were being attacked and ridiculed by former allies in the Jewish community. In addition to that, we know Ephesus had a lot of problems within the church itself. They were facing some internal problems with false teaching. And there were issues with this Gentile society that was turning against the church. So Ephesus was a Christian community under big pressure from two different sides outside of the church and inside of the church. They were just struggling. They didn't know what to do. Which brings us to the when. Well, when was all this happening? What was going on? It's important to get a little context about the first century at this point. One of the most important issues of this gospel is the timing of it. And generally, it's believed that it was written late in the first century. Now, that's about as specific as we can really be. But most scholars want to suggest between 80 and 85 AD. Definitely sometime after 70 AD. And what happened before this? What happened leading up to 80, 85 AD? Well, in AD 65, Peter and Paul were both executed in Rome. And there began some limited local persecution of Christians in different Gentile areas. You know, different regional areas had begun to attack them. In AD 70, the Jerusalem temple was destroyed. The whole city was destroyed. And this massively impacted the Jewish faith, but it also impacted a lot of Christians with Jewish backgrounds. This increased the conflict between the Christians and the Jewish people. This raised the tension up. Leading us to AD 73, at the end of the Roman and Jewish conflict, at this time the Christians were expelled from most Jewish synagogues. And so we get around to AD 83, we'll say that's when John was written, and the church is having some problems. The Roman Empire is turning on them, the Jewish people are feeling more and more negative towards them, and they're beginning to have a lot of problems crop out from inside of the church. Based on what we know about the location John was written at, you can see that this was a huge moment for the church. The apostles are almost dead. The first generation is ending, and tension is building and building. There are issues with the Jews, issues with the Romans, and conflicts inside the church. This is one of the most difficult and tense moments in our faith's history, and it was at this moment that John took up his pen, inspired by the Spirit, and wrote this book. So what kind of book did the church need at this point? What is the Gospel of John? I want you to picture a scenario with me. Picture a memorial service for a great leader. Perhaps a female who was a soldier who'd served her country. Maybe it's the funeral of a beloved father, or maybe a wonderful elder who served the church with care and love. What kind of words do you hear at a service like that? We miss him. We loved him. He loved us. We know that. We believe it. What are we going to do after knowing a brother like this, a sister like this? We're going to live our lives carrying them in our hearts. We're going to remember their kindness, and we are going to try to imitate that. We are going to teach others like they taught us. We're going to pass that love that they showed us to others. To use a fancy term, those kinds of speeches, they're known as epideictic rhetoric. And it's a way of speaking that focuses on praise or blame. And usually we use those at a memorial service or after some great accomplishment. It's like a speech a father might give the son after the birth of this first grandchild. You know, he'll tell him, "Son, you've grown into a great man, and I know you're going to be a great father because I know you've been a good man." It's a moment of commemoration, of remembering what we've been through and moving forward together. To make it as simple as humanly possible, the book of John is a pep talk. It is a speech meant to strengthen weakened souls, to bind us together as faithful people, to lift us up and put some steel in our spines, and to remind us what Jesus did, what he stood for, and that, as John puts it, the light still shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. That's what the church needed to know in AD 80. Why was the Gospel of John written? "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." I added that "continue to" there in the brackets, but I did that because the English translation's not really clear. The Greek is a little more clear. This text is not talking so much about creating faith that isn't there. It's talking about strengthening it. The purpose of the Gospel of John is not to bring its audience to faith, but to stir up the faith that they have and to express it in words. John is written so that people might believe in Jesus. And it's not only a book of belief, but a book about faith, about what faith looks like and how a life of faith involved constant struggle for Jesus, how he endured so many difficulties and did not lose that faith, but it grew. This book seems to be written towards the slant of helping those that are feeling rejected or attacked by society for their faith and encouraging them to maintain grace and faith just like Jesus did. To remember that he also endured great struggles by his own people. And John is a beautiful book about keeping that fire burning in our hearts for God. It's what the Christians in the first century needed so much. It's the lack of passion for their first love that John talks about in Revelation when he talks about Ephesus. And this book was written to help us relight that passion when the light in our heart is going out. This morning, I don't know what your struggle is, but maybe that's what you need. Maybe that light in your heart of love and passion for God and for his word is growing weak. If it is, don't give up. Believe in Christ and live life with him. If you need encouragement today on that journey, let us pray for you and help you if we can. Maybe you aren't a Christian and you need to start that journey. Well, then let us help you if we can. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, let us know as we stand and as we sing.